So welcome. Got some folks back with us again. Verna's back, and we got Murphy's are back. And wow, who else is back that hasn't normally been here? So anyway, we're glad to have everybody. And actually going to begin, we've been studying Daniel, but we've been always starting off in all the other books. So this book has taken us to several different locations and to fill in blanks and just to kind of make a flow out of things the way they're flowing. So let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and we'll go ahead and get started. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word. Lord, we're thankful that we can hold a copy of your word in our hands and study it, Lord, and forgive us, Lord, when we neglect the privilege that you've given us. And Father, I just pray that you'll open our hearts this morning. Lord, let us learn from your word and from your study. And Lord, you've given these prophecies that we're looking at now. And Lord, it's there for a reason. You want us to understand it. And help us, Lord, just to do that. And I just pray that you'll be with me, Lord, and help me not to say things that are incorrect or inaccurate. And Lord, just I want to speak the truth. And just pray that we'll all be strengthened and grow from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we finally wrapped up this these four verses, verse 40 through 44. And so this morning it's going to be easier to teach. I'm not going to have to be up here struggling, trying to explain things that I don't have answers to. And this is going to be a little bit easier to teach today. So I'm looking forward to this. So, by the way, I will not be teaching again next Sunday. G.S. Nair will be here. We're kind of just kind of skipping and hopping through this book of Daniel. And but that's good. I'm glad to have these other speakers come in and to hear from them, because I'd always say I'd a whole lot rather hear from them than hear from me. So, okay, let's go ahead and we're not going to back up this morning. We're just going to purge forward. So, and we just have one verse today we're going to study, and it's Daniel 11:45. And so who would read Daniel 11:45 for us this morning? And that's the last, Delbert, and that is the last verse in chapter 11. Okay, this one verse covers a lot of territory. And, you know, from the mid-tribulation till the end of him. So a lot of stuff to cover on this one verse. So, and it says, and he shall plant, and mine says, and you said his tent of his tabernacles?
Tent, some say tabernacles. So
okay.
Mine says tent.
All right. Yeah, and it says, and he shall plant his tabernacles or tent in the palace, in his palace between the seas, in the glorious holy mountain. Now, in the glorious holy mountain, so which country do you think that would be in? The land of Israel, all right? And between the seas, it says. It's referring to the Antichrist headquarters have been located in the western part of the world at this time. He's getting ready to move his residence. He now moves his headquarters in the glorious holy mountain between the Mediterranean Sea and the Dead Sea. And what mountain is in between these two seas? It's Zion, the holy mountain, the place of the temple, Jerusalem, the city of God. So he is now going to move his residence or his headquarters. He's moving him into Jerusalem. Remember, he has been cast out of okay, we just talked about, and I'm firmly convinced now at this particular point, after some, we got more to cover on this in the future, but I'm pretty well convinced, my opinion only, but that it is in Revelation, chapter 13, verse 12, where the devil, Satan, is cast out of heaven. And I think he's there right now in heaven, accusing the brethren. That's what he's doing. And there's a verse in the Bible, and I've come across that now, but it's after, it talks about in heaven there will be nothing that defiles, nothing that, in other words, there will be nothing bad in heaven. But that is after the new heaven and the new earth. You know, and we're going to study that. But that comes after that. But I think it's in mid-tribulation. And I shouldn't be stating my opinion, because my opinion can always be wrong. There's some of you could very well disagree with me on that, and that's fine. And you probably disagreed with me on a lot of other things I've said up here. So anyway, but it looks to me scripturally, I mean, when it talks about in Revelation chapter 12, or I think it's, anyway, wherever that is, it says that the devil's cast from out of heaven to the earth, and he hits the ground, and he is very wroth because he knows his time is short. And his time is short because he's only got 3.5 years, you know. According to the ones that believe that he was cast out of heaven, you know, in mid-tribulation. So, and I come across this verse. In fact, Nancy brought it up. You know, I've got it. We're coming to that in the future. I'm getting ahead of myself. But it does talk about in heaven there will be nothing to defile, nothing bad is going to be in heaven. But that is after the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. I never did know that there was a new Jerusalem also. There is. There's three news. I always just thought it was a two, the new heaven and the new earth. I'm learning a lot in this study, folks. Anyway, it says here, remember, he's been cast out of heaven to the earth and moves out in great wrath. He knows his time is short. That's Revelation 13:12. Around this time is when he breaks his covenant with Israel. Halfway through the tribulation period, that's when he's allowed them to build a temple now. The temple's been built. He allows them to do it. They're able to come back and do their worship, their sacrifices, and all that stuff. All this has been going on. Mid-tribulation, and around this time he breaks his covenant with Israel halfway through the tribulation period and halfway through Daniel's 70th week. I haven't been mentioning that, but see, this Daniel's 70th week is future. That's this 7-year period of time, which is a 7-year tribulation. And so halfway through it, he breaks his covenant with them. And Daniel 9:27 says, and in the midst of the week, okay, in the midst of the tribulation, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. In other words, he stops it. He stops all of their worship and everything, and he's going to declare himself to be God. He abolishes the worship of God and all other false religions as well. He abolishes all of it. During this time is when the Antichrist will move into the temple that will have been built into Jerusalem. The Antichrist will attempt to position himself in the place of Christ reigning from Jerusalem. All the way through this thing, Satan has been a copycat. He's a copycat of God, the triune God. God, there's three persons in you know, God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The devil has got Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. God is going to rule from Jerusalem. The devil's moving into Jerusalem. He's doing everything to, you know, just to be a copycat. And he's declaring himself to be God. It is at this point in time that the abomination of desolation will take place. That is when he sits on the throne and declares himself to be God. You know, and I am God, and as my subjects you fall down and you worship me. He does this in the temple that's been built in Jerusalem. He sets up an image of himself in the temple of Jerusalem and claims to be God. He will tolerate no other kings, no other gods, and no other religions. He knows his time is short, and he is, you know, he's got his ears laid back, and he's going for broke. He will rule in absolute supremacy. Some Jews, not all, some Jews will now realize they have been deceived. He's made them all these promises. He's got this covenant, and now they see this thing, and he's breaking his covenant. They'll realize they have been deceived. They will see that their new great leader is not their Messiah, but the prophesied man of sin. In 2 Thessalonians, Lots talks about that wicked one will be revealed. But anyway, he's called the man of sin in other places, somewhere in the Bible. Many Jews will refuse to worship him as they have learned from past experience, don't reject God. Some of them are going to refuse. They're going to see through this thing. He will persecute them worse than ever. And folks, this is this time in history when, you know, when Jesus in Matthew 24, he says, get out quick. You know, when you see these things taking place, get out quick. Run. Flee. Jeremiah 30, verse 7 says, it's a time of Jacob's trouble. It's just now starting. With that great enemy destroyed, Russia, in other words, we talked about in Ezekiel 38 and 39, God destroys Russia. And now here's a guy that believes that this, you know, that the Russia's involved in mid-tribulation. But he's saying, where are we here? Okay, and God destroys the Russia. Okay, the Gog, Magog, all this type, all these allies coming with him to fight against the Antichrist. God comes in, as they're coming in to attack Israel, God steps in and wipes them out. You know, we talked about that last week, and well, a couple, two or three weeks before last week, I wouldn't teach. Anyway, the last time I taught up here, that God destroyed them with a great earthquake, with fire, with brimstone, I forget what all else, but he wipes them out. In other words, the Antichrist is coming to destroy them, and when they get there, they're already dead. They get so confused, these people march on the Antichrist, it says his weapon will be against his own brother. In other words, they're fighting among themselves. They wind up killing themselves. God totally destroys them, and the Antichrist comes up on the scene, and they're all dead. And the Antichrist stood back and says, look what I have done by supernatural power. This proves that I am God. And he uses this as a lever, you know, to declare that he is God. And so with this great enemy destroyed, Russia and her allies, the Antichrist is in a great position to rule with unopposed authority, at least for a while. There's nobody to stop him. He can do whatever he wants. And yet here in verse 45, and at the end of it, it says, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. So, things are looking good for the Antichrist, but the Bible says right here, he's going to come to his end. And we're getting ready to take a look at that. The Antichrist is sitting there. He's got it all in control. He's desecrated a temple. He's devoured all religions. He is God in his own mind. And you know what happens at this time? And again, there's a lot of things that's taking place all at once. And I have troubles getting all this stuff sorted out. And I want to put everything in a real pretty systematic, even thing, you know, just step, 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 you know, right down the line. There's just a lot of things that's happening all at the same time. I can only teach on one thing at a time, you know, but there's a bunch of stuff going on. At the same time that all this is starting to take place, Revelation 6 through 18 begins to take place. And that's when this is God doing this stuff, and he's pouring out his wrath on the world. And I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to skim kind of through a little bit of this, just kind of skim the tops of it, but I'd encourage each and every one of you in your own time to read Revelation chapter 6 through 18. Chapters, you know, read all these chapters, chapter 6 through chapter 18, and see what is going to take place on planet Earth. And it is not pretty. And it's God is doing it too. So God is doing his thing while the devil's doing his thing. You know, I mean, all these things are starting to come. It's going to be bad. So, not only the Antichrist, but God begins to pour out his wrath. There's in the book of Revelation, these chapters here, there's seven seals are opened, there's seven trumpets are blown, and there's seven bowls are poured out on the earth by God. God's wrath on the earth, the whole thing explodes at this point, beginning mid-tribulation. And I'm just going to skim parts of Revelation here, the seven seals, seven trumpets, and the seven vials that God pours out. And here are just some of them, just a light, I'm only going to go to chapter 9, but just a quick overview. Revelation 6:2, there's a rider on a white horse with a bow, and he is sent out to conquer. 6:4, rider on a red horse with a sword to make war and bloodshed, and he makes a lot of it. Verses 5, chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, a rider on a black horse, which is famine. He had a balance in his hand, and he's crying out, 1 quart of wheat or 3 quarts of barley for 1 day's wage. It says for a penny, but in those days that was 1 day's wage. You could buy a quart of wheat or 3 quarts of barley for a day's wage. That's famine, folks. Verse 6:8, rider on a pale horse named Death, and hell followed after him. And power was given them to kill 1/4 of the world's population. 1/4 of it. This is coming from God, okay? If you stop and think, 1/4 of the population, you just look at this group in here, 1 out of 4 of us would be dead. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of death. Last I heard, there's around 6.5 billion people on the earth. Can you imagine, you know, 1.5 billion people dead all at once? Or over a short period of time. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of death, okay? 6, verse 15. Men cry for the mountains and the rocks to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. The 144,000 Jewish evangelists are sealed. And by sealing, that means they cannot be harmed by all this stuff taking place. Chapter 7, verse 9. This vision, it's a vision of a great multitude of Gentiles which will be saved during the tribulation. And it says it's a multitude which no man could number. There's going to be a lot of Jews and Gentiles saved during the tribulation period. And that's just, now that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. And then verse chapter 8, verse 1, the seventh seal results in silence in heaven for about the space of a half an hour. In other words, apparently the saints in heaven are looking down and they're watching this thing. And apparently whatever happens here is so bad. I mean, they're just, everybody is just dead silence in heaven. You know, nobody can, I mean, it's just breathtaking what's happening. Don't know what that is, but that's what the Bible says. It just says there is silence in heaven for the space of about an hour. And I think it means things are so bad they can't even, you know, just takes your breath. And then we start, and that's the seven seals. Now we start on the seven trumpets. In verse 8, in chapter 8, verse 7, 1/3 of the trees are burned up and all the grass is burned up. So we have 2/3 of the trees left, no grass on planet Earth. Chapter 8, verse 8, a great mountain burning with fire is cast into the sea, and 1/3 of the sea became blood. Can you imagine that? 8, 9, 1/3 of all sea animals die, 1/3 part of the ships are destroyed. 8, 10, and 11, 1/3 of the rivers become poisonous, killing many people. A lot of people drinking poisons, you know. Chapter 8, verse 12. 1/3 part of the sun, moon, and the stars are smitten, resulting in 1/3 more darkness on the earth. In other words, well, things are changing in the heavens here. It's so bad. Chapter 9, verse 1 through 5. Locusts with tails like scorpions, stinging all people except the 144,000 evangelists, tormenting them for 5 months. Chapter 9, verse 6, a sting is so bad that people want to die, but death shall flee from them. It is so bad they want to die, but they cannot die. God prevents them from dying. Chapter 9, verses 14 through 21, there's four angels are released which are bound in the river Euphrates. They release an army of horsemen, 2 million strong. The horses have heads like lions, and out of their mouths issue fire, smoke, and brimstone. The horses' tails were like unto serpents, and had heads with them which they do hurt. Their powers in their mouths and their tails, they destroy 1/3 part of mankind. Imagine this. You've already destroyed 1/4 of mankind. Now they're going to destroy another 1/3 of that. Those surviving these plagues will still refuse to repent. And I'm going to stop here at chapter 9. Things continue to get worse. I'll let you go ahead, and I'm here to take the time of going through all this. But read chapter 6 through 18, 17, 18, whatever it was. Read that on your own. And I mean, it goes on. And so now this is stuff that's going on along with all the Antichrist stuff. So folks, you do not want to be in the tribulation. You want to be raptured out before this thing hits. And Christ has offered a way for all of us. And we're going to miss it. Those that are saved. Here's one author's opinion on all this. He's talking about the horses with their tails and the stings in their tails. We read about the power to destroy 1/3 of all mankind comes from both the mouth and the tail. Think of John's difficulty in describing these riders as riding horses. Okay? Now, John, we're back in 90 AD, and John is on a in Patmos, the island of Patmos, and he's writing this. And anyway, and this guy, this author here says, and I submit to you that modern tanks, armored carriers, and artillery fire their projectiles or missiles primarily from their mouths, in other words, the front end. Helicopters and airplanes can also fire from the rear, from their tails. And as what he's saying is, we have all these modern military stuff today. And see, this is before the tribulation, or before the end of the tribulation. And we've got all this weaponry and stuff like that. And he's thinking that John, he's never seen a missile or a rocket or anything like that. And so all he can do is say they're riding on horses. He is equating that to our modern military stuff that they can use during the tribulation period. Joel 2:31 says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord come." The place of which this prophecy is speaking is the Middle East after Israel has come back to their land. Okay, we've already established that. Israel's back in their own land. And God is foretelling that before that great and terrible day of the Lord comes, the region is going to suffer warfare whose effects were puzzling until the advent of nuclear warheads. And so he's saying we're actually talking about a nuclear war here, referring to these horses and fire out of their mouth and their serpents and their tails and this type of thing. Wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Nuclear warheads certainly create pillars of smoke. Nuclear explosions also kick up enough dust in the atmosphere as to make the moon turn red and even blot out the sun at midday. Now, I've never seen any of this stuff. I'm just going to have to talk, but some of you in the military might have seen some of these things. I haven't. We see that the 2-million-man army will be allowed to kill. It talks about there's a 2 million. We're coming to that in the future here. A 2-million-man army will be allowed to kill 1/3 of the population of the world. That is a lot of people. In other words, this 200-million-man army will be well-equipped with weapons of mass destruction. We consider weapons of mass destruction to be on three types: nuclear, chemical, and biological. This unbelievable army, comprised of an unprecedented number of men, 200 million, will possess the firepower capable of killing 1/3 of all inhabitants of the earth. That's mass destruction, folks. I'm going to go ahead. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 16. We're going to go ahead and read part of this. I just felt that we needed to read that here. Who would read Revelation chapter 16, verses 1 through 16? 16 verses. And we'll kind of get a picture of what the Bible says. I've been talking. I'd like you to see what God actually writes in His Word. So who'd read? John? Okay. It's not pretty, folks. And see, all of this is taking place while the Antichrist is, you know, doing his thing, persecuting. And so, I don't know if you noticed in around verses 6, 7, and 8 along in there, but the angels are saying, God, you did right. Your judgment on this earth is just and fair, you know. They persecuted the prophets. They did this, and they, you know, you're right in this judgment. God is not being condemned, you know. And it says somewhere else in the Bible, will not the God of the universe do right? And He will. And folks, one of these days, all the wrongs are going to be made right, and God is going to judge each and every one of us and everybody, you know, and the judge of the universe will do right. It will be done in justice and truth. So, this is not a pretty picture at all, folks, but it's what's going to happen in the future. And it's kind of a sobering thought to see what's coming. In chapter 16, verse 10, that John just read, and it says, and the first part of that verse, it says, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. The word seat there actually means his throne or the kingdom of the beast. In other words, it's on his dominion, you might say. So the angel poured out on the Antichrist dominion. 16:12, it says, the river Euphrates was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. We're going to be talking more about that in the near future. And who are the kings of the east? China. That's China. China is east of Israel, and China is the only country that's going to be able to come up with a military that strong. As far as we can see it today, that's what, but it looks like it's going to be China, or that area anyway. 6:13, it talks about three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Here it's naming the unholy Trinity. You know, Satan's copycat of God, the Holy Trinity, and then this is talking about Satan's unholy Trinity. And again, he's trying to duplicate God. Verse 14, they are the spirits of devils that working miracles which go forth unto the king of the whole world. They're working miracles. They're deceiving people. And people are going to be deceived. They're going to still be flocking after the Antichrist and his cronies. And why? Why is all this taking place? To gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. In verse 16, it names it Armageddon. Armageddon is a Hebrew word for Megiddo, M-E-G-I-D-D-O. Megiddo, is that right?
Some Megiddo,
doesn't matter. Okay, doesn't matter, all right. And that is northern Israel. So, the Valley of Megiddo, also referred as the Valley of Jehoshaphat in Joel 3, 2, and 12, is where the Battle of Armageddon is to be fought. And I'm just going to read Zechariah 14, 2 and 3. I got it written down here so we don't have to take the time to turn to it. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And it says all nations, folks. Does that include the United States? Yeah. We're going to turn against Israel in the future. We will. Okay. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as he fought in the day of battle. Okay, let's go ahead and read Revelation chapter 19. Turn there. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 21. And who'd read that for us? Tracy?
And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judged and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has the name written, Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in mid-heaven, Come, assemble for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of commanders, and the flesh of the mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free men and slaves, and small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army.
Go to 21, yeah.
And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. Then the rest were killed with the sword, which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh.
Okay, now that's a picture of the Battle of Armageddon, and that's what's going to happen in the future. God's going to win the battle, folks. If you're a Christian, you're on the winning team. You know, I'm glad to be on the winning team. So, Okay, the Bible says that Jesus Christ will come out of the sky with a sword going out of his mouth. Turn back to Revelation 14, and we're going to read 14 through 20, a little bit more of the account of this. And who would read those verses? Revelation 14, 14 through 20. Mitch? Mick? Mick, right? Mick.
I looked, and therefore before me was a white cloud. The seat on the cloud was one, like a son of man, with a crown of gold on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came out of the temple, and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, "Take your sickle and reap, because the time of reap has come, while the harvest of the earth is ripe." So he who was standing on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. Another angel came out of the temple of heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. Still another angel, who had charge of the fire, came from the altar and called in a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, "Take the sharp sickle and gather the flesh of the grapes on the earth's vine, because its grapes are ripe." The angel swung his sickle on the earth, gathered its grapes, and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. They were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as horses' bridles for a distance of 1,600 stadia.
Okay. So, this again is another description of the Battle of Armageddon. And it talks about, what did yours say, 1,600? What was your...
Stadia.
Okay. Well, anyway, I did the math on this thing. It's in the King James, it says 1,600 furlongs. A furlong is 582 feet, and actually it amounts to about 180 miles. So the Battle of Armageddon is what this is talking about here, and it talks about and the blood flowed to the depth of a horse's bridle for 180 miles. That's 180 miles long. That's how bad the Battle of Armageddon is going to be. And it's going to be a big battle, and it's just, that's what it is. That's where we're headed, folks, or that's where the world is headed. All right, enough of that. Back now to, does anybody have any comments on anything we've covered so far this morning? Okay, good. Back to Daniel 11:45. I always keep a paper up here so I can flip right to it. My paper's up here out of them. Okay. And then it says at the end of that verse, and none shall help him. At the end of the verse. The Antichrist will come to his end. We're told that at the Lord's second coming, the beast or the Antichrist and the false prophet will be judged by Christ. These two, the beast and the Antichrist, not Satan himself, okay, the beast and the Antichrist, they will be thrown alive into the lake of fire. We just read about that in Revelation 19:20. 2 Thessalonians 2:8, and I don't turn there. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The Antichrist. This is the last Gentile world ruler. He is no match when he meets God, the true King. And he's been victorious in all these other battles and stuff, and things are all going his way, but he's no match when he meets up with the Lord. He may have been a match for the king from the north, the king of the south, and the king of the east. But he's no match for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Antichrist is stopped in his tracks at the end of the tribulation period, Battle of Armageddon. An unknown poet wrote this: "My father's ways may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my heart I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray. my hopes may fade away. But still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know his way. Though night be dark, and it may seem like day will never break, pin my faith, my all in him, he maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see, my eyesight's far too dim, but come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all with him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, he maketh no mistake. So, we have got 3 minutes, and we have just concluded Daniel chapter 11. I'm ready to start for chapter 12. And there's some exciting stuff takes place in chapter 12. This is what I have. Does anybody have any questions, comments, anything about anything? Okay, good. Folks, it's not pretty what's happening in the future. And, you know, the Bible says creation's groaneth. Creation is groaning. And have you seen the news lately? Is creation groaning today? I mean, it just seemed like, you know, God said these things are going to happen. And God's word is true. So, why don't we go ahead and close with prayer? And you'll be dismissed about 2.5 minutes early. How about that? Okay. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, you're honest with us. And you tell us exactly what it's going to be. It's not pretty for us to look at. And Lord, yet, you are just in your judgment of mankind. Lord, your mercy has been extended to us. Lord, every one of us deserve to see and go through and live through what we've just read about this morning. But Lord, you provided a way of escape that we can avoid all this. Thank you, Lord, for that, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. He paid our price, the debt that we could not pay. He paid it for us. And Lord, as a result of that, we are clothed with Christ's righteousness. And Lord, as you look at us, all you see is the righteousness of Christ. You don't see our sin, for that's been cast as far from the east to the west. Just thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us, Lord, just to grow and learn from it. And Lord, we look forward to chapter 12. There's just some exciting things taking place in chapter 12. And just help us, Lord, to be understanding and discerning of your word. In Jesus' name, and be with Pastor, Lord, as he brings a message to us this morning. Open our hearts for the message you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray.